What foundation are you building your homeschool on? We'll talk about that in today's episode of the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast with Brian Osborne of Answers in Genesis. Welcome to season two of the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I'm Yvette Hampton, producer and host of the upcoming documentary Schoolhouse Rocked, The Homeschool Revolution. I'm super excited about our guest today. His name is Brian Osborne, and Brian is a speaker, he's an author, and he is the curriculum specialist at Answers in Genesis. And we are so thankful that God has opened the door for us to meet you and interview you. So let's let the rest of our people get to meet you. Brian, welcome to the show, and we'd love for you to introduce yourself to our audience.
Absolutely. Well, Yvette, it's really good to be here with you. We've been chatting for a little bit. It's so good to catch up with what God is doing through you guys, through your ministry. I'm blessed to be part of Answers in Genesis, as you just said. I do a lot of traveling nowadays for about the last 5 years. I've traveled over the U.S. speaking at multiple churches, a lot of different conferences, really equipping Christians to defend the faith, to defend biblical authority, where it's being attacked today at a real level, and to proclaim the gospel. And so that's the heartbeat of AIG. It really is that we are not about winning an argument or debate, but about defending biblical authority to proclaim the gospel. That's our heartbeat. And so I've got a chance, a great privilege to travel a lot across the U.S. and actually to different places as well outside the U.S. and to see what's happening over there in places like New Zealand or Africa or Malaysia or Japan, and the fellowship with believers over there, to see how God is working, to see how God's word is being attacked in different ways, in different places, and how really, literally Christians all over the world need to be ready to stand on God's word to defend the faith, to proclaim the gospel. And so that's what we like to do. That's what our ministry focus is. So whether it's speaking, whether it's writing books or curriculum for homeschooling, which we love homeschoolers, we love equipping them to do what is so needed in our day and age. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about this more later on, but man, homeschooling is such a powerful mechanism to really equip your kids to defend their faith. And we'll get to that later on, but we love that. But the whole point of all of that is to defend the authority of God's word and proclaim the gospel. And so that's our focus. Personally, I've got a couple of kids myself. I've got a son, Ian, who's 5 years old, and he is awesome. And I have a daughter, Macy, who's about to be a year old at the time of this recording. And she is also awesome. And they keep us busy, but we are so blessed by them. And then I was a teacher for about 13 years before joining the ministry of Answers in Genesis. And that was also a unique opportunity. I think we'll come back to that later on. Mm-hmm. And then here I am today at Answers working with this ministry, and so blessed. And God's doing great things here at AIG for sure.
Yeah, he is doing great things there. I was talking to a friend the other day who is planning to go to the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter for her anniversary in May. And they're real excited about it. And I told her, I said, you know, there's no way that anyone can walk through there and not see the power of a divine creator. I mean, it is just absolutely amazing when you go there and you just see so much of God's creation all in one place. And you guys have done such an excellent job of just displaying and portraying the awesomeness of God. You know, the heavens declare the glory of God.
Oh, absolutely.
And I don't know how anyone can walk through there and just say, yeah, nope, it all just happened by chance.
Well, yeah, praise God for that. We hear that so often. Mm-hmm. And as people come through, not only do they see the glory of the creation, but also they realize there are answers to a lot of questions that for many people, Christians and non-Christians alike, they think the Bible has been really disproved by certain ideas, like millions of years, or like the so-called fossil record of millions of years, or evolution, or distant starlight, or the age of the earth, or modern day science. And you start to realize that no. There are actually really good answers to all of those issues. There really are. If you'll stand on the Bible and use a biblical worldview, we got some great answers for that. And then we use all those answers to get back to the gospel to proclaim the creator of creation and to give that truth. And I like to compare, the quality of the attractions here at the Ark Encounter and the Creation Museum. They're so well done.
Yes.
Ken likes to say equal to Hollywood, if not better. We have real wood in our attractions. The Ark is made of real wood, and they're real things. But, if you look in the Old Testament, when God had the Israelites build the tabernacle, and he had brought people with different skill sets who were good in different things to come and build the different parts of the tabernacle, I think of that here at the ministry of AIG. There are so many talented people who God has brought to do different things to make this ministry flourish and to be done at such a top-notch level. So yeah. All the attractions, all of the sculptures, all the clothing, all that stuff you see in the attractions, that's done in-house.
Wow.
The painting by our own artists. The writing for the signage is done by our guys. The curriculum we write in-house because God has brought some incredibly talented people in different areas to do all these things. And so we just praise God for that and definitely give him all the glory.
Yeah, that's so awesome. It's the body of Christ working together, just as it should.
It really is. Yeah. So, and you mentioned that. I got to say this. One of the things I love about working in the office when I'm actually here is that there are so many different denominations represented in this office.
Mm.
And we all fly under the banner of Christ, under the authority of God's word. And that's our heartbeat as a ministry. So multiple denominations standing all as Christians on the authority of God's word. It's just an awesome thing.
So cool. I love it. I love it. I want to talk with you about a couple of different things today. So you had mentioned briefly that you used to be a teacher and you taught in the public school system for 13 years.
I did.
And, we interviewed you for Schoolhouse Rocked, and yours is by far one of the most powerful interviews. And we have a lot of good interviews, but yours was so powerful because you were able to just talk about your experience of being in the public school and how, even just in your 13 years there, and this was a few years ago, it's been a few years since you stopped teaching, how you saw the transition of our culture and the kids and just the things that you were experiencing as a teacher and that they were experiencing as students. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about your time as a public school teacher and just what you saw going on?
Yeah, no, absolutely. As you mentioned, I taught for 13 years. I mentioned that too. Also, my wife was a teacher for 13 years in the public school. So both my wife and I have that real boots on the ground experience of teaching in the public schools. And of course, I'll say up front, we have some really wonderful memories and so many great friends who are still in that system. And we taught many wonderful kids. And so there's some highlights, no doubt about that. But if you're just looking at the trend of where the schools are headed and the philosophy that's driving education today, it has drastically changed. I think I mentioned last time when we were talking about when I first taught, I taught an interesting subject. I taught Bible history in a public school. People need to understand that. It was in Tennessee, a very unique thing, great opportunity, but I taught Bible history in a public school setting. And I started back in the year 2000. And when I started in the year 2000, teaching that particular subject, most of my kids, and I was teaching the bulk of the Bible Belt, they had a general foundational understanding of many biblical things, right? They understood some of the basic lingo. They could speak some of the Christian lingo. They understood that those words because they grew up in a church setting.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's what I found in my classroom, that year by year, as I taught my students, each coming generation knew less and less about the Bible, right? They knew less and less. And these are kids who grew up in the buckle of the Bible Belt, like we said earlier, maybe the shiny part of the buckle of the Bible Belt. And each year they knew less and less about the Bible. And so what I had to do with my curriculum is start at a more foundational level each year. So I eventually got to a point by year 13, when kids came into my classroom, my first lessons were on how to understand a biblical reference. You know, what does Genesis 8:22-23 mean? A lot of my kids didn't even know what that meant.
Wow.
Because they weren't used to reading their Bibles. They didn't have that foundational understanding. You know, easy things from a biblical understanding. What's the Bible say about, marriage or sexuality or different things? They didn't understand clear, easy biblical teachings because even though they grew up in a very churchized area, they did not have that foundation. And so I saw that in my own classroom. And then with what you saw in the culture of the school was also changing. More and more a secular influence was dominating the thinking of the system. And I tell people all the time, there were and still are many good, godly people in the system.
Mm-hmm.
There are some great Christians who are in the public school systems, and they are doing their best to be lights in a dark place. And we praise God for them.
Yeah.
Right? And we pray that God uses them in a great way. So there are many great Christians in the system, but what people really need to understand is that the system itself is inherently atheistic.
Mm-hmm.
and has increased in a secular philosophy over the years while I was there and since I've left. So even though there are good people in the system itself starts with the basic premise that you can explain all of life, all of morality, all of sexuality, you can explain all of reality without God, without the Bible. And that, by definition, is a religion of secular humanism, also called atheism. So that's the undercurrent of much of our educational system today in America and throughout the West. And more, the undercurrent has pulled the kids along with it. Mm-hmm. So what you see is, with the kids in the classrooms, their thinking is becoming more and more secular, more and more aligned with the less secular persuasion, less and less biblical. And generation by generation, they're thinking less in terms of a biblical framework and more in terms of a secular framework. And of course, as we know, that has real world repercussions mm-hmm. in how they live and how they act and what they do and what we see happening in our schools today. So lots of change happening for sure.
Yeah, one of the things I remember you talking about in your interview for the movie was that if Christian parents are putting their kids in a public school system, they need to be ready to undo all that's being taught to them when they come home. Yeah. And I actually just recently, I talked to a mom who they feel very strongly that God has their kids. They have a very, very strong, solid Christian family. And right. they have their kids in a public school system intentionally. And she said, when they come home from school at night, I have to undo all that they've been taught. She said, but my kids are making a difference and they're holding Bible clubs and they're doing all sorts of things, which I think is fantastic. And like you said, you know, there are so many great people in the public school system. You know, there are teachers who love Jesus, who there are administrators who really, it is their ministry, their mission that God has called them to be in this role. Because they're really making a difference. But I know it's a very difficult position to be in. And there are kids, there certainly are kids who love the Lord, who come out of public schools loving God. You know, we've said it many times. Our listeners have heard this say it a million times. Homeschooling is not the gospel. Homeschooling is not what saves our kids. And Jesus is what saves them. And there are plenty of kids who come out of homeschool families who go off on their own way and they choose not to follow Christ. And then there are lots of kids who come out of the public school system or private schools and they go on to have, you know, an enormous impact in our world. Yeah. And so I love that dynamic of it. But I think sometimes today parents don't really know what's going on behind those doors, or they choose to maybe ignore it. Not all, but some.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of times in our ministry, we talk about this so often at Answers in Genesis, what so many, I think Christians are missing in the culture at large, including in the schooling arena, is that they don't recognize that what's really happening is a foundational attack on the authority of God's word and the foundation of Christianity itself. And so I think for many, they think I'll send my kids off to a public school and they'll learn some ideas that aren't biblical, but that's okay. I'll still give them some biblical teaching and they'll be fine. Mm-hmm. What they're missing is what they're actually learning from the secular institutions of our age, including the school system, is they're learning a different foundation. Mm-hmm. They're learning that man's word ultimately is the authority and that God's word is not. They're getting a different foundation from these different places. And so in a sense, what we've allowed to happen quite often is we've allowed the secularists, ultimately the enemy who's driving those secularists, whether they recognize it or not, we've allowed them to get a new foundation put into their lives. We try to stack up Christian doctrines as a framework on that foundation, and eventually that framework's going to fall because they've got the wrong foundation. It's not based on God's word. Yeah. They put their house on sand, not on the rock. And so it looks good for a while. Oh, they got some of these Christian doctrines. They seem to be fine. But then later off, they leave. And according to multiple studies, over 2/3 are walking away from the faith by the time they reach college age. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they've been given a different foundation. It wasn't built on God's word at all. They're falling away because of that wrong foundation. And so if you're going to do that, as we talked about before, putting your kid in that particular setting, if God's called you to that, that can't be a thing, and he can't do that. But we must recognize, be sure your kid has that right foundation mm-hmm. truly in God's word, that they are indeed saved. They are his. His word is their rock. They're going into this environment recognizing the attack that they are engaging with. They're coming home and decompressing all these ideas and engaging with your parents to understand, okay, how do I deal with the fact that a drag queen spoke to a bunch of fifth graders at a public library? How do I understand that from a Christian perspective? I mean, these are ideas I couldn't even think about engaging when I was a teacher just 5 years ago before I left.
Yeah.
A drag queen speaks to kids in America. You know, I mean, and so we got to recognize that all of these things are not just peripheral attacks on biblical ideas about marriage. Ultimately, these things are attacks on a biblical foundation of how we understand all of reality. And if we allow the secularists to give our kids their foundation, don't be surprised when the kids embraces that entire worldview ultimately. And so we've got to be really careful. And for my money, and for what I've seen, my wife and I both, as we've gone through teaching for a while, recognizing what's happening, we've recognized that the best way from our perspective to give our kids a good foundation on God's word, to equip them with a biblical worldview, is through homeschooling, right? Because we have control of the content. We can teach every subject to the glory of God. And from that biblical perspective, we can, you know, we can still talk about what's happening in the culture, but do it through a biblical lens. Yeah. So they understand it from a biblical perspective. And we'll present them with the secular arguments, but in the right context, and how we can properly break it down over time. And then we can do that. And then after years and years from now, when our kids get older, if they've got a great foundation and God calls them to that, we'll work through that then as well. But what better way to give a biblical foundation than through homeschooling? And there's so many practical benefits too that I'm sure you guys talk about all the time in the homeschooling setting, as far as, you know, classroom size and student-teacher relationship and love for students. It doesn't get any better than that homeschooling setting. But just recognizing that foundational attack. And so often that's what we're trying to, as a ministry, bring awareness to with Christians. Dear Christian, please recognize that God's word is being attacked at a foundational level. And that's why so many of your kids and grandkids are walking away from the faith. We've got to give them the right foundation, with it, which is based on the idea and the truth that God's word is the absolute authority in all things. We'll go from there.
Yeah, that's awesome. I want to talk a little bit more about that. I want to take a quick break, but I want to talk further about that biblical foundation and how we can do that as parents. So let's take a quick break for one of our sponsors, and we'll be right back. Hey, everyone. I am here with my youngest daughter, Lacey. Say hi.
Hi.
And we want to tell you about a really exciting program for math called
Teaching Textbooks.
And are you excited about Teaching Textbooks?
Yes.
You haven't even started it yet, have you?
No, but I'm really excited.
Why? Why are you excited about it?
Because Brooklyn does it, and because I have a bunch of fun stuff and awesome stuff.
Yeah. Your big sister has done Teaching Textbooks for quite some time, and you have been waiting anxiously to get to start Teaching Textbooks.
I have.
Yeah, and we're going to get to start it when?
In the new year.
In the new year, you're going to get to start Math 3 with Teaching Textbooks. Why is it so exciting?
Because they're just so fun, and that way you don't have to teach me math.
I like that part about it. They do all the teaching, and they make it super duper fun, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. So Teaching Textbooks is offering the first 15 lessons of any level that they have for free. Isn't that exciting?
That's awesome.
That is awesome. Where can people find out more about it?
TeachingTextbooks.com.
TeachingTextbooks.com. Think they should check it out?
Yeah.
All right, me too. So let's continue talking about this idea of setting a biblical foundation, because, you know, you said homeschooling is the best way to do that. But then you've got parents who kind of say, okay, well, how? How do we do that? How, as homeschool parents, is the best way? How do we do that? How do we set that foundation for our kids and say, this is truth, and integrate that into every part of our teaching in a day-to-day setting with our kids at home?
Sure. I mean, I think there's a lot of ways to do that. When you, especially in a homeschooling setting, there's a lot of flexibility. And it's part of the things we love about homeschooling is you do have the flexibility to do this in different ways. But getting, I would say overall, getting the resources you need to help you to teach yourself and your kids to think biblically. Of course, from our perspective, as we as a ministry, we deal more with history, origins, scientific issues, getting resources into the hands of believers that they can use to equip themselves and their kids and their grandkids or their homeschooling kids to think with a biblical perspective. So whether it's the Answers, Bible Answers books 1-4, I wrote a book called Quick Answers to Tough Questions. It's actually kind of a cool thing. I talked to a guy the other day in a Christian school. He uses my book as his curriculum for his Bible class.
Oh, wow.
Really kind of neat to hear that. So whether it's one of the books or the DVDs or one of the curriculums, the ABC curriculum is a great Bible curriculum. Whether it's some of the homeschooling curriculums we have on chemistry or science or mathematics, and there are other good ministries out there as well. But finding curriculums that'll help you teach that subject from a biblical perspective. And recognize that the goal of that curriculum is to honor the Savior, to honor our Creator, to honor our God, and that we don't learn, we don't gain intellect just to lift up ourselves. It's not about that at all. We learn to glorify our Creator, and He might use this in a great way for His glory. And so I think there are lots of ways to do that within that setting. I'd say also with that, we recognize the biblical encouragement that at all times, whether we sit down, rise up, eat, that we are teaching our kids to think through a biblical lens, right? We're teaching them God's word, connecting the real world to God's real word and connecting those things for them to help have that biblical worldview. And again, homeschooling has that wonderful benefit of as you live together and there's more engagement, there are more opportunities to have those really good teachable moments where you can talk about an issue or something you saw or a trip that you took or whatever, and filter that through that biblical lens to equip them with that biblical worldview, right? And so I think, you know, all those things, of course, I think a consistent Bible study within the family, which is really something we want to encourage families to do, especially have fathers lead in that to recognize the importance of that with their families. All those things, you can just do them step by step, moment by moment, year by year, not all at one time, but as you live life together and do those things and teach them from that perspective, it's going to give them that foundation brick by brick by brick on the Word of God. That foundation will lead to a good structure that will lead to hopefully a life that glorifies Him in that setting. So, yeah, I think you can do that a lot of different ways, but there's some ideas.
I love it. I've said this so many times on the podcast, so for our listeners who've heard me say it, I'm just going to say it again. We, you know, as we started homeschooling our girls, the Lord really opened our eyes to the fact that it's not just about the academics. It's about teaching everything from that biblical perspective, because it always points them to Jesus. And, you know, the one I think that really surprised me the most is math, because people will say, well, how do you teach math from a biblical perspective? And it's not that we teach, you know, 2 + 2 = 4, Jesus loves you. That is true. But
I might steal that for later.
Right. maybe you should do 1 + 1 = 2, Jesus loves you. That would make more sense. That rhymes. But but in teaching it that God is a God of order, He is not a God of chaos. And so math makes sense because God created it to make sense. Man didn't create math. God created math. And teaching science, I mean, that's the whole ministry of AIG is science and history. And so you teach science from a biblical worldview.
Right.
Because it helps us to understand our Creator. If you can understand, you know, Psalm 24, the heavens declare the glory of God. You look at the heavens, you look at the universe that God has created. And how do you look at that and say there's no Creator? And when you teach that aside from, apart from a biblical worldview, then you're not really teaching science. And history is the same way. History is the story of God's world and of you know, God's plan for mankind. And so when you don't start history in the beginning, you know, Answers in Genesis, if you don't start in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, then you're not teaching history as it's meant to be understood.
Right.
And so we see it as such a great opportunity, and it doesn't have to be taught perfectly. I think that as homeschool moms, especially, we feel like we have to know everything. Like we have to have mastered all of these topics and in order to teach them to our kids. And I've learned, I'm just learning right along with them.
So
there's
absolutely
so much that I don't know. And Garrett always reminds me, you just have to stay one step ahead of them. That's all you have to do. And if that means reading the page 10 minutes before I read it to them, or even sometimes just reading it for the first time when I'm reading it with them.
Yeah.
And if there's something I don't understand, you know, we pause and we look it up. and or we ask Garrett and he answers the questions for us.
Is that a new sort of ask Siri?
Yeah, it's like Wikipedia, but it's Garrettpedia. That's what we have in our house. But you know, there just are so many opportunities, like you said, to teach our kids from a biblical worldview. And it's not all about academics. It's so much about character as well. And just taking that time to teach our kids who they are in Christ, why God made them on purpose and for a purpose, and what God's purpose is for them in this world.
Yeah. No, that's good. I like that purpose. The trilogy of purposes you just used was good.
Yeah, it was good. You can use that too. I should trademark that.
But even as teachers, my wife and I would often comment, especially your first couple of years as a teacher, you're always one step ahead. And that's it. That's how it kind of rolls. That's not uncommon. And you're not going to know everything, especially as you advance in subjects. But that's one of the blessings of doing homeschooling now in our current age. There are so many good resources to help you do even the difficult subjects, and you can still, there's enough to choose from. We can find some that are still going to be Christ honoring, and you can help filter through those. That's part of the process. And so you have such a plethora of resources to choose from to do this in a good way. And I love what you were saying. It's one of my other favorite topics to talk about, is that not only does creation show our creator, but also the invisible attributes of our world show the invisible attributes of our God, right? So you look at, you talked about math. You know, where do these invisible laws of mathematics come from, and why don't they randomly change?
Yeah.
They come from the mind of God, and they don't change because God doesn't change, right? Laws of nature, the whole reason we can do science to begin with is we have laws of nature that are, they're not tangible, but they don't change.
Right.
They're consistent over time, and that's why you can do an experiment today and tomorrow and get the same results if you do it the same way. Well, that's only possible because God made not only the tangible world, but the non-tangible world. He made the laws of nature. He holds them together so they don't randomly change. They reflect him. And so the only reason you can do science to begin with is because God is real and the Bible's true. Right? And you can point out all of that when you're teaching it from a biblical perspective. I love that stuff.
Yeah, that is awesome. You touched really quickly on it. We have just a couple minutes left, but I'd love for you to talk to the dads out there who you touched on the topic of dads leading their family spiritually. Talk to those dads. How would you encourage them to do that?
You know, my kids are younger right now, 5 and 1. And as I think about my kids and being a father, the weight of being a father, the weight of, you know, the responsibility biblically we've been given by God as the head of the household, that weighs on me more and more as I think about my kids and raising them correctly. And it's interesting. I think in our culture, that's so secular in its nature, it's easy to get wrapped up in that secular thinking. So we tend to think, okay, if I meet their physical needs, if I bring home the bacon, which Peter says we can't say anymore, but if I put a roof over their heads, if I'm giving them clothing, if I'm giving them opportunities, and I've done my job, and I would say to myself and anyone who's thinking that way, if that's all you've done, you've missed the whole thing entirely. Right. And I say that to myself first and to other dads as well, because our primary responsibility is to raise our children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, that their focus will be on him. And the only way to do that is to build our thinking on the word of God, where we see God on display, his attributes clearly portrayed for us, teaching them through that grid to give them a biblical worldview by standing on that right foundation. And God has called fathers to lead our families in that endeavor. It's not the mom's job. Now, praise God if he's given you a wonderful wife that can come alongside you and be an incredible helpmate and can do some wonderful teaching in a homeschooling setting and do some great things. That's a blessing. And that's a gift from the Lord. And we praise God for all those incredible homeschooling parents and moms out there doing a great job. But ultimately, when we stand before Heavenly Father, God looks at us, men, dads. Did you lead your home in such a way that, you know, I was the center of attention, that you showed my kids how to know me and love me and pursue me from my word? That'll come directly to us as head of household. And so it is our responsibility to be sure our home is being run in such a way that our kids are getting that. So I know situations will vary in households. Fathers may work in different ways, different capacities. They may not be home as much as the mom. That makes sense, right? But still, are you engaged when you are home? And then are you adding to what your wife is doing within the curriculum with teaching that biblical framework? Are you doing what's really needed in those devotions, doing spending time together as a family consistently around the Word of God, that you show your kids that, you know what, God's Word is preeminent in my heart. It's preeminent in our family because it's worthy of all honor and praise because it's from the Creator. Is that on display? And man, this is convicting to myself even as I speak it. But is that what, is that your clear joy to your kids and your clear passion to your kids? So they see that from you, not only in what you speak, but in how you spend your time with them, that you're not just merely bringing home the bacon, but you're bringing home the Word of God and making that up to them. They may feast on that and know that God's Word is true. And for me, the more I think about it, the more I grow in this role that God has put me in, the more I speak to people, the more that responsibility weighs clear and heavy on me. It's a precious responsibility, and it's an awesome privilege to have that, but it does bear weight, and we need to take it seriously. That again, if we're not equipping our kids with our right foundation, with that biblical worldview, or giving them all the other things they need, but not the spiritual truth based on the Word of God, we've missed it entirely, and we are accountable. But on the flip side, if we're obedient, if we're helping our wives and helping our families to stand on God's Word, and we're equipping them with the truth of God's Word, we see God work through that. And then when we stand before God, you get those words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Right? And what a beautiful thing that is. And so it's serious. God counts it as serious. We see those commands in God's Word over and over and over again to be sure we're building our thinking and the thinking of our families on God's Word. And we need to take it as such. But when we do so, we'll see God work in an amazing way. And I think, as you mentioned too, you mentioned that sometimes the homeschooling moms, whoever's doing the homeschooling, will feel inadequate. You know, I'm not up to the task. It's too much to know. Well, dads are going to feel the exact same way. Right? They're going to feel inadequate quite often. I don't know enough. My theology isn't robust enough. I don't have these understandings I should to teach my kids. But dear Father, study God's Word, put in the work, do your best, and then watch the Holy Spirit of God work in an amazing way to His glory. Because honestly, our call is not perfection, but our call is obedience. Mm. Do what God has called us to do, and then watch Him work. He'll do great things to His glory through your family.
Yeah. Oh, I love that so much. You know, God's Word does not return void. I think it was Scott LaPierre, I can't remember, who said, if you can read, you can lead your family spiritually.
Amen.
You know, all it takes is just opening up. And quite honestly, even if you can't read, how many apps are there that you just open it up on your phone? And it will read the Bible to you.
yeah, absolutely.
So
I might steal all that from you later on, by the way.
You got it.
I've got some great stuff from this interview.
Yeah, well, you're welcome. Brian, I am so grateful for you and for the ministry that you have there at Answers in Genesis, for Ken Ham and the whole team there. I know you guys really work tirelessly to just help parents and families to set that foundation of biblical truth. Where can people find you? And for, you know, you're talking about curriculum and parents being able to just set that foundation by using some of the biblical curriculum that you have. Where can people go to find that?
So the easiest way to get there is to go to answersingenesis.org. Answersingenesis.org. Go to the website there. Plug in the search bar, homeschool curriculum. And we have a whole store set up online that has so many different resources on so many different subjects for different age groups for a homeschooling setting. And so we have many dedicated curriculums to homeschooling, and you can find those on the website at answersingenesis.org. There are also many things you can add to your curriculum. We have many books and DVDs that are good supplements to what you're already doing, and it can help make it more robust in what you're teaching from a biblical perspective. And so all that is on the website. I encourage people to check that out. Also, they can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. I'm there personally. Also, the ministry is there. You find those pages. Just look up Answers in Genesis or look up Brian Osborne. You'll find us on those particular platforms, and you can follow us there. And then, as you know, as time goes, we are putting stuff on those places, useful tools for teaching, whether in a homeschooling setting or a church setting, to equip Christians to defend the faith. And so, typical media platforms that people use, but they're so handy and they're on there. So I encourage people to check those out, look those up. And of course, if they are in the area, And by that, I mean in the U.S., the Chicago Visit the Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter. You mentioned it earlier. I know I'm biased. I work here. I get it. But it is incredible.
It's incredible.
Amazing what God has done. It's all His. And Ken was saying this the other day. It's God's ministry. And God's done wonderful things. Oh, yeah. And it's so unique in what it is. And it's such an encouragement to the Christian's faith and a challenge to a non-believer. And so if you got unbelieving family or friends, it's a great place to come and to look at these things together and to talk about these things. It opens up great conversations. You'll hear the gospel numerous times. Mm-hmm. It's really powerful in multiple ways.
So, okay, really quickly, for those who are not familiar with the Creation Museum or the Ark Encounter, give like a 1 minute brief overview of what that is.
Okay, so we're located in northern Kentucky, right below Cincinnati, and the Creation Museum is they're two separate attractions, the museum and the Ark Encounter. The Creation Museum is a 75,000-foot walk through biblical history, and we use the seven C's to walk through biblical history: creation, corruption, catastrophe, confusion, Christ, cross, consummation. And as we go through that biblical history, we are answering the skeptical questions of this age. And showing how the Bible really does have answers. And actually, the biblical worldview is confirmed as true time and time again by real science. And then in the midst of all that, we're giving the gospel in numerous ways, numerous times. And there are multiple lectures. There are workshops you can go to. There's a special effects theater. It's a 4D theater. It's now 3D with added effects. They're like wind blowing on you, changing temperatures, water, really cool stuff. We're adding updates right now to the Creation Museum. Phenomenal. And then the Ark Encounter, that's also in northern Kentucky, about 40 minutes south of the Creation Museum. Same ministry, two different attractions. It's a life-size replica of Noah's Ark. Over 500 feet long, 85 feet wide, 50 feet tall, three different levels. There are over 130 exhibit bays as you walk through the Ark Encounter. And again, in that context, we're answering multiple questions defending the faith. And really, the Ark Encounter, it's an attraction within an attraction within an attraction. And what I mean is you walk up to it, at first the size of it will blow your mind. So immense. Yes. It just gives you a whole new perspective that you can't get about Noah's Ark unless you see it like you do there. Yeah. But then once you go inside, the architecture of the Ark Encounter is incredible. It's the largest timber frame structure in the world. And so just looking at the woodwork, it is so well done. And then all the exhibits, all the answers you get, they are the artist God has brought to the ministry to put those things together. They're phenomenal. And they do a fantastic job. And so it's so good on multiple levels. We got Imzara's buffet by the Ark Encounter, which I know I'm biased again, but it is a great buffet. We have a whole East Village and West Village by the Ark Encounter. The Answer Center is opening up soon. There's a zoo behind the Ark Encounter. And I really encourage people, if you're coming this way to the northern Kentucky area, you want to get just the pass to both the museum and the Ark Encounter. It's cheaper. It's multiple days. Gives you good time to see everything there is to see. And you can spend easily 2 days at the Creation Museum. I mean, sincerely, the botanical garden outside all the stuff. And then the Ark Encounter, a good day or two.
Yeah.
So people hopefully can make plans accordingly. But again, I'm biased, but it is incredible. And it's amazing to watch God work. And I would say this to wrap up. We've had over 1 million people come for each of the last 2 years to the Ark Encounter.
Wow.
And so it's been amazing to see that. And we're averaging around 500,000 a year now at the Creation Museum since the Ark Encounter opened. So it's just been awesome to watch God work through all that.
So cool. Well, you guys are having a great impact for God's kingdom. We are so grateful for what you're doing and all that God is doing through the ministry there at AIG and through you personally, through the books that you're writing. And I did want to mention one book really quickly. This just came to my mind. I thought about it when you were talking earlier about setting a foundation and children walking away from faith. Already Gone, written by Ken Ham. That is a fantastic book. We'll link to that in the show notes. But Garrett and I read that years ago, and that was actually pretty instrumental in part of our decision to start homeschooling. It is a fantastic book. It talks about why children are walking away from the faith once they get into those college years, because it's not really in those college years or young adult years. Oftentimes it's earlier than that.
So. Foundation was shaken a long time ago. No,
that's
absolutely.
Right. So excellent.
Well, hey, praise God for what you're doing. I've known you guys for a couple of years now, and to see your heart in all this and watching how God's bringing this all together. I'm excited for you guys. I'm so thankful for what you're doing, how God's using you. And it's so cool to partner with you in ministry. It's a blessing.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. You guys are a huge blessing. And we hope to make it back to the Creation Museum again soon.
Absolutely.
And it will be awesome. So thank you, Brian, for your time today. I know you've been a great encouragement to those who have heard this recording, and blessings to you and your family. I hope this episode of the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast has been an encouragement to you. For great homeschooling videos and more, including uncut interviews with the cast of Schoolhouse Rocked, check out members.schoolhouserocked.com and use the coupon code PODCAST10 to save 10% on any paid Backstage Pass membership. If you loved this episode, please take a minute to leave a review for the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast on iTunes. God bless.